Good morning. Welcome to our service of worship. We want to welcome the seven friends who are in attendance here this morning and spread out. We also want to welcome those of you who are watching on our live stream at home. We welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this Easter day, the day of resurrection. Not too many announcements. All of the activities remain canceled. We will plan to have an 11 o'clock live stream devotion this Wednesday and make that a regular weekly event, at least for the next two or three weeks. And we'll continue to live stream our service on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. At this time, we want to spend a few moments in silent prayer as we prepare our hearts to worship the Lord together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our call to worship this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 5 and 6, a portion of the account as Mary Magdalene and Mary approach the grave of Christ. Please rise. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." Amen. Let us sing to our risen Lord, hymn number 277.
Sons of men and
Let's bow together for our invocation, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Father, we come into your presence this morning with great joy, for Christ is not in the grave. He is risen. He is alive. We are exceedingly glad in heart, for through this resurrection, we also have been made alive through faith. We have been born again into a living hope of eternal life. And though in this present life we are grieved by various trials, including those that keep us physically separated on this special day, we count it all joy in Christ. We abound in hope in Christ. We are filled with all joy and peace in believing as we follow Christ, our exalted head, to eternal life. And now, Father, as we come together to worship you under these strange circumstances, please minister to us with the Spirit of Christ. His Spirit is not confined to a screen or quarantined or socially distanced. He does not shelter in place, but he is our helper, our comforter, and he indwells the hearts of all who believe, bearing witness that we are members of Christ's kingdom on earth, wherever we may be. Help us to understand this today, that we gather together as one in the Spirit of Christ. And hear us now as we pray in the name of Christ, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In the scriptures, we read that during the crucifixion of Christ, a centurion stood facing Christ. And when Christ had breathed his last, the centurion confessed his own faith by saying, Truly, this man was the Son of God. Likewise, let us confess our own faith together this morning in our risen Lord by saying the Apostles' Creed. Please rise. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Continue to praise Christ together by singing hymn number 283.
Amen. Please be seated.
Let's bow together in prayer. God of life, we rejoice in the resurrection of your Son this morning. His defeat over death and his gift of new life. Today we praise you for all the might and the power and the creativity by which you won the victory over death, sin, and hell. And Father, we praise you this morning for raising from the dead our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, now of all of us sheep who follow him. And we praise you for the reflections of that new life and resurrection in creation. We praise you for the reflections of that new life in nations and governments around the world, in the ministry of your church locally and universally. We praise you for the reflection of that new life in our community, the sacrifice of those who serve, and in our new life in Christ. Father, to you as the giver of new life and renewed hope, we bring our prayers this morning. We pray for creation. We pray for the nations of the world. We pray for our nation and its leaders. Father, we pray that in your power and in your mercy, you would end this coronavirus pandemic. And Lord, we pray for the safety of all members of the medical community and pray that they will be able to care for the sick with wisdom and kindness and stamina and safety. Lord, we pray that the sick would be healed. We pray that the elderly would be protected. We pray for those confined to quarantine, those who are under stay-at-home orders, those practicing social distancing, that they may not despair in loneliness and isolation, but know the fellowship and the presence of Christ through your Spirit and the fellowship that binds us together as those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this morning for the church as it works on your behalf, proclaiming the gospel this Easter Sunday. We pray for this local church and its ministry. We pray for all churches as they adjust to different ways of ministry during this unusual time. We ask that you would bless those means. Father, this morning we pray that you would be with those who have particular needs. We pray for widows, we pray for orphans, we pray for aliens, we pray for outcasts, we pray for single mothers, we pray for the sick. Lord, we lift all of those and many more to you in prayer, knowing that you are the Lord and giver of life, the great physician, the healer who brought up Christ from the grave. And we offer these prayers in the strong and gracious name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning is that portion of our worship when we typically pass the plate and, as an act of worship, give our tithe or offering as a demonstration that all that we have belongs to the Lord. I want to thank everyone for their continued financial support of our ministry. It is much appreciated, and we want to continue to incorporate this element of our worship, even though it's irregular, into our liturgy. By giving you a few moments to think about giving, there are other ways to give than passing the plate. You can do so online, or you can mail your check in. At this time, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer thanking the Lord for his provision and asking for his continued provision. Let's remain standing and we'll continue our worship singing God's Word found in the Blue Psalter, Psalm 16C. Seated. This morning, if you'd like to turn with us as we read God's Word together, I want to turn to two passages, one Old Testament and one New Testament, and read them both. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 first, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the word of our God will stand forever. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Hear the word of the Lord. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight, and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And then if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent or worldly wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through worldly wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Let's pray together. Father, we ask this morning for your special blessing as the one who inspired these words, that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to believe, that you would give us wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I want to walk through two passages, the two we just read, Proverbs chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 1, and demonstrate that Easter can be found in every book of the Bible. It starts in the first chapter of Genesis. It goes all the way through the book of Revelation. Now, obviously, not the specific events of death and resurrection, although there are some very specific allusions and foreshadowings, but clearly the message of Easter, what Easter is all about, is what we could say the Bible is all about, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're in a series in the book of Proverbs, and I believe the message of Easter is clearly pointed to in the book of Proverbs. Some months ago, back in the fall even, when I first started mapping out this series in the book of Proverbs, I came to the conviction that once Easter arrives, we've got to show that Proverbs points us to the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel message of Easter. And there's a few ways that that could be done. But I want to do it by showing how the main theme of Proverbs, which you'll remember if you've been with us, is attaining wisdom. The main theme of Proverbs is wisdom. How wisdom is shown in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to give you three points this morning. I want to show you three important things that Solomon gives to us when it comes to understanding the nature of wisdom. Three important things about attaining wisdom. And the first point is this. Wisdom comes when you seek it diligently. Wisdom is not, we've seen in Proverbs, some far off, unattainable carrot on a stick that's way off in the future. One of the major themes of Proverbs is the assumption that wisdom is something that God offers to all of us. It's available to all. It's offered to all. It cries out in the streets. Look back at chapter 1 of Proverbs. At least a couple of times, wisdom is shown as crying out to people. Chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. Wisdom is available for all. Wisdom calls out to all. Wisdom is inviting to all. But, and this is very important, according to the book of Proverbs, wisdom is not something that just falls in your lap. You don't just stumble upon it. It's crying out everywhere. It's inviting you. It's a calling to you. It's issuing the invitation, but it doesn't just fall in your lap. It's something that is promised to those who seek for it diligently. It's promised to those who seek for it with all of their heart. Look at our passage this morning, back in Proverbs chapter 2. Look at the diligence that's described here. It's calling out to you, but you have to seek it with your heart. My son, if... That's a key word. It's a small word, but it's a key word. If you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understand it. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it. Do you hear the effort there that has to be put forth? If you receive the words, if you treasure up the commandments, if you attune your ear to it, if you incline your heart, if you call out, it's calling to you, but you need to call back. If you raise your voice to it, we have to diligently seek it, pour our heart and our mind and our soul, our effort into it. So the message of Easter comes to us with this truth. If you're looking for wisdom, the cross of Christ is the ultimate depiction of God's wisdom. Let's turn to our other passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's see how this plays out in the New Testament. Paul says in chapter 1, verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not with words of eloquent wisdom," not with words of worldly wisdom. If that were the case, if the message of the cross, if the message of the gospel, if the message of Easter was worldly wisdom, look what he says. The cross of Christ would be emptied of its power. You see, Proverbs, just like 1 Corinthians chapter 1, contrasts the wisdom of the world, which ultimately does not last, which ultimately leads to death, not eternal life, with the wisdom of God, which is displayed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of the cross, the message of resurrection, the message of Easter is powerful. Why? Because it's the wisdom of God. It is the wisdom of God, and it destroys worldly wisdom. Look at verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 1. He says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." That's worldly wisdom. "And the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." The resurrection message is powerful because it is the wisdom of God. But here's the problem. Proverbs calls us to diligently seek it. Proverbs calls us to seek it with all of our heart. The problem is the world's not seeking it. By nature, we don't seek it. The cross displays God's wisdom, but the world doesn't seek it. The world sees it as folly. Look at verse 18 of our 1 Corinthians passage. Verse 18, he says, "For the word of the cross, the wisdom of God, is folly to those who are perishing." It is folly. You know, I've often had people tell me the message of the cross, the message of the gospel, the message of the resurrection just doesn't make sense to me. And I'll ask them, well, how much have you studied it? How much have you looked into it? How much effort and diligence have you put into understanding it and studying and digging into it? And I would say 9 times out of 10, it's the answer is some form of not much. I was in Sunday school some when I was young. I heard somebody tell me a little bit about it. I've read a little bit in the gospel before. That's not the kind of diligence Proverbs is calling for. That's not the kind of all in, crying out in the streets kind of diligence that Proverbs is calling for. Some of you may be familiar with Lee Strobel, the investigative journalist who set out to disprove the resurrection of Christ. And he investigated all of the facts. He looked at all the accounts. He looked at all the historical facts. And in the process, Lee Strobel converted to Jesus Christ. He became a follower of Christ. He pursued the evidence and he became a follower of Christ. He diligently pursued wisdom. He was trying to disprove it. And he was converted to Christ. He wrote the worldwide bestseller, The Case for Christ. It was actually made into a movie just a couple of years back. Similar story, maybe you're familiar with the lawyer, the atheist, Josh McDowell, tried his best to disprove Christianity. They're seeking diligently, following the evidence, looking at the facts, reading the Word of God, taking it where the pursuit takes them. And by God's grace, they come to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, I was thinking this past week, I would be hard-pressed to think of many unbelievers that I have known who have ever seriously looked into and sought diligently after Christ. So that's a message to us. If you do not know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you do not know the wisdom of God personally, the Scriptures would urge you, I would urge you, the book of Proverbs would urge you to seek after Him diligently with all of your heart, with all of your mind, as Proverbs calls us to do, and He says He can be found. But let me make a second point. And this is kind of a warning label, I think, of this. You've seen the warning labels on just about everything that is produced these days. They are crazy. And they seem to get crazier. I think they get worse and worse because most of them are based on lawsuits. One that I laughed at recently was on the K-Cup. And on the K-Cup it says, hot, cool before peeling. And I'm scratching my head. Okay, what scenario led to that warning label? Did somebody heat the K-Cup, take it out, peel it? I don't even know. That's not how it's even intended to be used. Think of this as a warning label. Point number two, wisdom is not naturally found. It comes to you when you seek it diligently, but warning, it is not naturally found. Look back at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4. You have this one notion in Proverbs that wisdom can be found. In fact, it's calling out and issuing an invitation to everybody and anybody that will listen to it. But then you also have these pictures of wisdom, like chapter 2, verse 4. If you seek for it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures. So on the one hand, wisdom cries out in the streets. But on the other hand, it's not obvious to us. It's not obvious to us because to us it looks like foolishness. We don't see it. It's like a hidden treasure. I am really convinced that the truth of God is built into every human heart. I am fully convinced that the truth of God, the wisdom of God, as the book of Proverbs says, is calling out to us everywhere we look. Psalm 19 bears that out. Turn back just one book, Psalm 19. Describing how wisdom cries out everywhere. The truth of God cries out everywhere. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's wisdom crying out everywhere. And the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech. That's wisdom crying out. And night to night reveals knowledge. Creation everywhere reveals the truth of God. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. It's running from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. You look to the heavens, and there's a voice that reveals God to all humankind. It cannot be denied. If we're honest, it cannot be denied. The problem is we're not honest. Romans chapter 1. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Same idea. In the New Testament, Romans chapter 1, wisdom cries out everywhere. God's creation testifies to His truth everywhere. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. There's the problem. Truth is everywhere. Problem is, because of the fall, we suppress it. Verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Psalm 19, Proverbs 2, everywhere you look, it is plain, it is obvious, the truth of God is crying out for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Friends, there are times when someone who has never even read the Bible looks at a sunset and they just know that God is real. There are times when you see a brand new baby made in the image of God and you have an overwhelming sense that God is real. There are times you look through a telescope and you gaze to the stars and the universe, and there is that unsuppressible truth within that says God is real. The problem is we suppress it, we reject it, we deny it. The problem is, as Paul explains to us in our passage this morning and in Romans chapter 1, we naturally see ourselves as wise apart from God. Look at 1 Corinthians again. First Corinthians 1:20. This is what Paul is mocking here. Where is the one who is wise? Quote, quote, where is the one who thinks he's wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? We naturally, we're just wired this way. It's a result of the fall. We naturally count our wisdom higher than God's wisdom. And so even though it is true that wisdom is crying out everywhere, the truth of God is crying out everywhere, both externally and internally, because we're made in the image of God, we naturally suppress that. We naturally count our wisdom higher than God's wisdom. So point number two is wisdom is not naturally found. You can cry out for it, seek it diligently, you can find it, but beware, you cannot find it naturally. And that leads me to my third and final point. Ultimately, the Bible calls us to seek wisdom diligently. But when you obtain it, and by obtain it, I mean come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the wisdom as it is ultimately displayed in the death and resurrection of Christ. When you obtain it, it turns out you have received a gift. A supernatural gift. You don't naturally find it, you receive it supernaturally. Look back at Proverbs chapter 2. He says, seek for it, seek for it, seek for it, seek for it, seek for it. Verse 6, and this is the key. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. When you begin to understand eternal truth, when you begin to understand the wisdom of God, when you seek for it and you find it, and you come to grips with the truth that there is a God, there is a Creator, and his wisdom is ultimately displayed not only in his handiwork, but in the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you can wake up on Easter Sunday morning and sing songs of praise and songs of resurrection, and you really mean it from down in your heart, there's a joy because of what Christ has done, because of his resurrection, because he has overcome the grave and sin and the devil. Do you know why you can do that? It's because God has given you that gift of wisdom. It is because God has given you that gift of the resurrected Jesus Christ. It is because God has applied that spiritual truth and the work of Christ to your heart. What a wonderful Easter truth. The cross and the resurrection is a gift of grace. Let's turn back to our 1 Corinthians passage. I want to close here. Paul says, 1 Corinthians verse 18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. It's folly to those who deny it. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It is the supernatural gift of God. Verse 21. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through worldly wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach as a gift to save those who believe." It is a supernatural gift that God saves us by his grace. Here's the connection between Proverbs and the message of Easter. Wisdom is offered to all. Wisdom comes when you diligently seek it. Wisdom does not come naturally, and wisdom is a supernatural gift. You turn to the New Testament, insert gospel, insert Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is offered to all. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes to you when you seek it diligently. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not naturally found. And for those of you who know the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have received a supernatural gift. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Easter message. We thank you for the resurrection of Christ, the first fruits from the dead. Lord, we rejoice this morning in that message of hope that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Lord, we confess that this morning with great joy, knowing that as we confess it, we have received the supernatural gift of grace that comes from you alone. We thank you for that, our Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends, let's stand and sing our closing hymn of response, hymn number 273.
Thank you.
Please receive the benediction. May the grace of our risen Lord and Savior go with you this day and forevermore. Amen.